Welcome to Coastal Connection. I'm Brian Russo. It's no secret that in the past few years, the quaint little city of Salisbury, Maryland, has been battling a rather substantial and unsettling uptick in violent crime and gang activity. But the severity of the problem seems to waver somewhere between epidemic and manageable nuisance, depending on whom you talk to in Salisbury. A recent report from the website NeighborhoodScout.com claims Salisbury was the fourth most dangerous place to live in the United States, saying that per capita, there's a higher likelihood of being the victim of a violent crime in Salisbury than in big cities such as Detroit, Philadelphia, Baltimore, or Washington, D.C. Obviously, citizens were none too pleased to be put on a list such as this. Perhaps not surprisingly, one of the most irritated residents also happens to be the city's mayor. Jim Ireton believes the information cited in this report mirrors crime numbers the city was experiencing back in 2008. And not only is he questioning the credibility of the source, he's also challenging the local media to start covering the battles the city is winning in the fight against crime.
It's not an issue of being upset. It's an issue of Neighborhood Scout being wrong. It doesn't reflect the current reality that people are living in right now. And, after years and years of the FBI, who does all of our crime statistics, that's who we report to, keeps saying to entities, stop using these things. If you look on the website, it's a for-profit website. And if you try and contact that place, it's just a series of, if you'd like to buy this, press one. If you'd like to buy this, press two. So I'm not exactly sure, in terms of validity, you talk about graduate school validity, whether or not they stack up.
This isn't the first time that Salisbury has been named as a dangerous place to be.
Right.
Over the years, your administration, the town, with the hiring of the new police chief, Barbara Duncan, you guys have made a good bit of headway in that battle against violent crime. Talk about where the numbers are now.
Well, if you take the information from Neighborhood Scout and you go back a couple years, and 2006 to 2008, we go up about 6.8% in violent crime. From 2009 to today, we're down 33.6%. That is incredible because those numbers are in like 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. They're not 20,000, like say some of the places that we were compared to on the site. So if you look at today, we're talking about 475 fewer Part 1 crimes than this time last year, and not almost 1,000, or about 919 fewer than 2 years ago. Now, how does that really affect the neighborhoods where people live? Well, when you're talking...
First, we should define a Part 1 crime.
All right, Part 1 crimes, murder, rape, robbery, aggravated assault, burglary, theft, motor vehicle theft, and arson. Those are Part 1s. Part 2s go down into prostitution, lower-level drug use, noise. When we look at those numbers, we realize that people are always cognizant when crime goes up. People are always cognizant when things next door get loud. People are always cognizant when they hear sirens. What we're finding is that people are saying, wow, the news has to go to Delaware, has to go to the Eastern Shore of Virginia. I mean, still things happen here. There's no doubt about it. But what you're finding is that we don't lead the newscast the way, say, Baltimore City does. That's why we solicited the help. Mrs. Cohen, the council president, myself, working with the governor's Office of Crime Control and Prevention, the Safe Streets Initiative bringing $808,000 to Salisbury over the past 3 years. So these things have a profound effect on the neighborhoods where we live. And that helps us with quality of life. That helps us with property values. That helps people with insurance rates, all of those things. So when we get this story, there is no doubt that, without a huge mayor's office that has 150 people working in it, that I'm sort of tasked with having to delve into it and let the public know that these numbers are not accurate, they do not reflect the current reality, and they don't reflect the amount of effort that our officers are making on the street every day. We have officers back walking a beat now. We now have scholarship funds to attract minority officers because our city is now 44% minority. We are really making those strides to come into this 21st century to make our police staff look the way we look and recognize that community policing works and that we know that officers on the street, knowing the neighbors, knowing the houses, is having a profound effect on what it's like to live in our neighborhood. I am proud of what we've done. You're here in my office. You see my wall. I live it every day. And I don't live someplace that is separated from the issues that Salisbury has. I live right off North Division Street, right on the same street that I went to kindergarten at when there was no crime in Salisbury. And now we deal with it on a weekly basis. My hope is that with Barbara Duncan, with a renewed sense of vigor to continue to bring the numbers down, that we work towards Salisbury becoming the safest city in Maryland. So if this were anywhere else, people would be flocking here, trying to figure out what it is that we're doing that can help. We're modeling ourselves after Annapolis, and Annapolis is safe streets. So the lesson here is it would have been probably a better idea to say, wow, look at what they're doing, instead of, wow, look at what they're not doing. And that's what we struggle with, because good news doesn't lead. And there's so much good news coming out of this town right now.
What are the people of Salisbury thinking? I mean, are they seeing the progress that you guys are making here? Because if you talk to some folks, and maybe it is because of the stream of information that they're getting in the media, they're seeing the headlines of prostitution busts or underage club busts, mm-hmm. or, you know, robberies, shootings, etc. What is the morale from your constituents and the voters of this region?
Well, it depends. You know, you and I have talked about the issues in the media and, you know, what it is that leads, what it is that's going to get people's attention. And if you're watching a particular, you know, all of this is ideologically driven nowadays. You got a Fox station, you got a this station, you got a that station. You know, I'm just as disturbed as anybody else about that video that we saw in the downtown area outside that club. But I can tell you that if you take out the statistics for the commissioner's office, which gets calls for services down here when people get arrested, you take those numbers out, the downtown area is one of the safest places to live in all of the city. So how do we as a town, as a small city, figure out how to deal with the fact that you get a video with people beating somebody up? That's got to lead the news. That's on your group of people to figure out why that is necessary. That's not on me. I respect your right to do what it is that you feel needs to lead the news. Do I find it distasteful completely and entirely? Do I find the glee that the media sort of has when they can get something like that? I find it grotesque. I think that for every one thing that's bad in Salisbury, there are at least 200 that are absolutely incredible.
But couldn't it be argued that, you know, certainly somebody that's sitting in your position doesn't want anything bad to happen in Salisbury, so when something does, don't necessarily want it to lead the news?
Not at all. Not at all. Because what we have been able to do over the last 2.5-3 years is recognize that we had these problems. Sure. And that's a good step for a municipality to take, to recognize that you cannot throw your head in the sand. Mm-hmm. What we have now that we didn't have before, when something like that breaks out or when there's a set of home invasions, you have an incredible working relationship between my office, the office of the state's attorney, the office of the sheriff, the police chief, the state police. All of those people are in this Safe Streets group, and it lends itself all the way to parole and probation, to juvenile services, to working with our faith-based partners. All of our prostitutes that get busted, and we just had a big bust a couple months back, they're all in being pushed towards programs that help with rehabilitation, because that really is the only way. That's the only end product that you can work towards when it comes to prostitution.
Well, it sounds to me like you're calling out to the media outlets, not only locally but even nationally, to have, I think what I'm gathering is you want them to have more responsibility to look at progress and not just adversity.
My only hope can be that you can win a Pulitzer Prize by reporting something good instead of sitting outside and waiting for the lawyer to show up with an arm hanging out of a car. And I know that sounds kind of stark, but that's where I feel that industry is going. You know, education is the same way. We're always going to report the bad scores, always going to report who failed instead of who passed. But I don't believe that the public thinks the same way that the media does when you see reports out of think tanks in our nation's capital that say that over 80% of all people are satisfied with their local public school, but then this almost to the same extent, they have a negative impression of education nationwide. I don't want to appear too folksy or whatever about appealing to your better angels, but it would be incredibly wonderful for people who live in these towns who have to deal with what we've just had to deal with, that when we walk into the Chamber of Commerce meeting that my staff just walked out of a little while ago and had to hear about, oh my God, did you see this thing? Did you see this on Facebook? My best friends in DC, I cannot believe that I heard this about Salisbury, because I would rather have been talking to you and going, yes, the story that you did about crime being down 33% is absolutely correct. This is a wonderful thing. Let me tell you all about it. Instead of having to deal with a website that I don't believe you and I, you may give it a little higher credibility rating than I do, but I doubt it's very high for either one of us. And I don't think that serves the public well. I'm happy to be the cheerleader. I'm happy to call you up and give you some ribbing about the story. But I'd rather take you and your tape recorder and start rolling through here and rolling through the Church Street neighborhood that has a 30% drop in both part ones and part twos, a 60% drop in thefts that in the neighborhood of Camden that surrounds the university. Those are things that are happening on a regular basis. It's officers on their bikes, officers on the street, making sure that they know who these neighbors are. And I can't impress upon you enough how proud I am that we as a city said, you know, we got a problem and we need to deal with it. You know, there is news 24 hours a day, and it happens, you know, even here. Plus, we deal with online sources in this town that do the exact same thing that Neighborhood Scout did to us. Again, I would march in the street for their right to say whatever they want. Are they right most of the time? No. Are they right some of the time? No. Are they right a little bit? Occasionally. And that's all I can say about it. But what you see on the television and what you see happening sometimes is politics. Right. You know, this is politics in this town is not for the faint of heart, and neither do we have a mayor that suffers fools gladly.
Have you turned the corner on the fight against crime in Salisbury? Tell people that live in Salisbury where you guys are in that battle.
We are just up around the bend. We're not around it completely, you know, and we're certainly not going to stop doing what we're doing and setting even higher goals for ourselves. I gotta refocus everyone's efforts here at home so they don't get down on ourselves about, can you believe they said that about us again? You know, I've got to deal with the local media now. They're going to read the online communities that just are so empowered when something bad comes out about anybody. They're just, I think they thrive on it. And then I've got to go with the newest statistics, and I've got to make sure that the staff, that we're putting it on Facebook, that we're blasting out emails. And it seems as if what I am doing is reacting to you. And to be perfectly honest with me, I believe your job is to react to me. And that's an unsavory byproduct of the 24-hour news cycle, where we create news out of something that is sketchy at best. That's a really good Salisbury word. That mess is sketchy. That website's sketchy. But they're allowed to put it up there. And I mean, I'd sit right down at the corner of 13 and 50 right there at the overhead bridge with a sign every week that said, this is how much it's gone down. But you know, I can't do that. And I'd only look like a fool. But sometimes in our need to make news volatile, in our need to make news divisive, in our need to make news about something that really news is not, Maryland's crime rate's the lowest since 1974. I can tell you from a personal standpoint how much I love this job, but I find this part of it to be the most distasteful.
That was Jim Ireton, the mayor of Salisbury. We're going to take the mayor up on his offer to see firsthand how the city is fighting crime when we head to the front lines in January, as we'll launch a series exploring just how safe the streets of Salisbury are. We're going to take a short break, but we'll be right back. You're listening to Coastal Connection on 88.3 in Ocean City. I'm Brian Russo.